If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
If you haven't already, you will soon be hearing a lot more about what's called Everything Apps. And with us to discuss what they are and why they matter to you, digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Everything Apps, it sounds too good to be true, Scott. Talk about this and why these are getting so much attention now.
Sure. Good morning, Bob. So the attention is courtesy of Elon Musk, who is in the process of, in his words and eyes, building an Everything app. He changed the name of Twitter to X, and he says that he envisions X being one place where you do everything. And I have found this the best way to explain it. Right now, you go to X when you want to read what used to be tweets, and you may send messages or private messages to people. Elon Musk has a view where say all the apps on your phone are replaced by his X app, meaning you'd use X to do all the above, plus call for a taxi or order a pizza or check your bank balance or buy more laundry detergent.
Well, in theory, one app to replace a whole screen of other apps does sound pretty good.
It absolutely does, but it's just not practical from so many standpoints. As a society, we don't agree on much of anything. And if you put politics aside for just one second, think of all the things where we insist on having separation. And if you start with the most obvious one of all, your computer. I may use an iPhone and iOS for iPhone, but listeners out there may use Android and Samsung phones. And for as long as I can remember, there's been some sort of Mac versus PC debate, you know, and someone may swear by Facebook Messenger to stay in touch, but I only use text. And then there's social media itself. The people who are loyal to TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, well, they're not going to be flocking to use X.
And it does go way beyond personal preference. What about privacy concerns?
That, Bob, is huge. One single brand having the access it does to what it does now, that's already a thing of huge concern, whether it's a social media app or a financial app. But with an Everything app, it's everything, and I mean everything, would fall under one owner with singular access. You turn over the keys whenever you do something online, but that would reach a whole new level. In addition to privacy, you'd have antitrust, regulatory scrutiny, all the things that would make the concept of one app for all a very divisive topic, and divisiveness would be the number one enemy of any everything app. And here's another consideration to think about, Bob. What happens when an app goes down? Now you may be inconvenienced if you have to wait for it to come back. You may have the option of using another app to accomplish your goals, but with an Everything app, although there isn't one for me to confirm this with, it stands to reason that everything we would need would go down at the same time, and that would go way beyond inconvenience.
Yeah, and then there are some pretty basic considerations too, right, like loyalty.
Loyalty is a huge consideration. No one is going to switch to another app for what could be billed as the convenience of putting everything in one place. It's just, it doesn't make sense. I have a very distinct system for organizing my favorite apps. I'm sure you do. I'm sure listeners do as well. America is a society built on choice, and choice means just that. We get to choose. So even under the guise of something being convenient, we're also creatures of habit, and we like what we like.
Continuing with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and we're talking about these Everything apps. They do exist, right, Scott, just not here in the United States?
Yeah, that's correct, Bob. So apps like WeChat in China, they integrate, that app integrates social media, messaging, payments, and many other everyday functions. But an Everything app here is far from an apples-to-apples comparison with WeChat in China. I mean, China has different rules around internet use, and different rules and requirements completely change the playing field. But what we can do is compare how the basic usage looks. WeChat incorporates all those elements. And even those elements, social media, messaging, payments, all the things that are inherently personal here. We use different social media platforms. We may text. We may email. We may use Venmo. We may use Apple Pay. The list goes on and on.
Yeah. And I suppose an app like this could be pretty inviting to some, though, right?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, if you see your needs wrapped up in such an app, you know, it might absolutely work for you. But here's the thing. For an everything app to actually be successful, it has to be successful at scale. Everyone has to buy into it. And I just don't see that happening. But I mean, could Elon Musk create an app where, say, you communicate via social media, you make video and phone calls, you operate your Tesla, you order dinner? Sure, you could absolutely do that. And people might think that's enough to serve their needs. But the concept of one all-encompassing app, I don't think that's in the cards. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, talked a few years ago about how WhatsApp, which is the other app that Meta owns, could somehow do this. I don't even have WhatsApp on my phone, if that gives you any indication of where that's going.
Earlier, Scott, you mentioned society and Macs and PCs. This quest for online dominance is not new, is it?
It's not, and I'm going to date myself here, but, you know, I remember clearly signing into AOL back in the 90s to do what then was everything, and now it makes us laugh. And that's another thing. User habits and things change over time. That world seems foreign to us now. Where you put that old, you know, AOL CD in your computer and you're whisked back magically to the information superhighway, right? It was simpler back then. And while simple is a noteworthy model, it's not practical today in a world where choice is everything. And you may remember the term web portal. That was a big thing. That's a similar concept. Web portals became a thing in the late 90s, where it was all about a variety of services aimed at giving you everything in one place, like your email and your news and your search. You had Yahoo, you had MSN. Those brands still exist today, but think about it. They aren't the same. They still exist, but not in the same way, because the internet is not the same.
Yeah, the technology has moved so fast. Exactly. You talk about the old AOL. It used to be that people once in a while would say, you remember your old phone number? But now it's, what was your first email address? And then somebody said to me the other day, I had some question about something, and this person said to me, I don't know, ask Jeeves. And I thought, ask Jeeves. I haven't heard that in a long time. You know, now you ask Siri, right? Remember Jeeves?
I do. I used to love Jeeves. And you might want to know, Bob, that it is now a badge of honor. It's considered a badge of honor in the internet community to use the oldest email address you have. So if you still have an AOL email address, it makes you extra cool.
Oh, well, that's good to know, because that's me. I do have Gmail, but I kept my AOL. Let's go to the Genius Bar here. And a question that came from a listener for you, Scott. Are Google Drive documents susceptible to malware?
Oh, that's a really good question. So here's the answer. In theory, it is possible to get a virus or malware anywhere on any file sharing platform. However, there are safety measures in place, and those safety measures, of course, vary. But for example, I know that Google Drive, it scans files for malware and viruses. But that's not to say, see, this is where that caveat always comes in. There's always someone out there who can circumvent something, no matter how careful you are. So you always have to be careful of these types of things. And I would say those rules apply for Google Drive as well as anywhere else. You don't ever want to click on anything or download things that you're unfamiliar with, because that practice is always going to result in, you know, that's just going to be the worst thing that could possibly happen. You also want to keep your computer's antivirus software updated. But here's what I'll say. Google Drive is one of many file sharing platforms. If you're going to use a file sharing platform, using ones that are the most well-known, that stand for these types of things ahead of time, that's where you want to go. So your Google Drive, your Dropbox, your iCloud, you know, those ones that people know of, those are going to be the safest ones. But just use your common sense when it comes to downloading documents.
Scott Kleinberg, he's even smarter than Jeeves. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one, Scott.
YouTube. Take care.